Hi, and welcome again to podcast number three of the Blind Pen Pals Facebook page, Light Across the World. And here we are again, Amanda Hawkins, Dr. Mari Thurston, and Miguel Wigan. Good morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Right, and who wants to say where we are today?
I'll say where we are. We're in Ayrshire. Yeah, Ayrshire, yes. In Scotland. A lovely coastal town.
Town.
Would you say Victorian seaside town, I believe?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very popular in the Victorian times. They used to come here and visit and go to health spas, etc., etc. But we're here at the moment to do the podcast, so I'll hand over to Amanda.
Yeah, so in Scotland, last time we were in Belfast. Today we're in Scotland. We just happened to be together again, doing an event for professionals that work with blind or partial sighted people and highlighting to them the need for emotional support. So we're hoping that will all go well. But today we're going to focus on, I think, the process to adjusting sight loss. And the reason we're doing that is because after the last podcast, thank you so much for all your comments, your participation, your subject matter that you shared, sharing your own stories and leaving comments. It was really rich. And there were lots of suggestions about what we should talk about. But when we talked about it a little bit last night, we kind of figured that the process of adjusting to sight loss would be helpful at this point, and there's loads of other stuff we can go back to, or you may tell us something different after this podcast. You know, it really is an interactive process that we want to engage in here. So the process of adjusting to your sight loss. Now, this forms a major part of your research, Mari, doesn't it? So I wonder if you want to tell us from your perspective what you found.
Yeah, so this has formed the main body of my work across the years to understand what it's like, how do people adjust to going blind. And I found there was five stages. And the first stage was around being diagnosed with a sight condition. And what I found with that is that people said it was scary. So there was a lot of fear generated, because I think people fear going blind. They fear sight loss. Mm-hmm. So when you get that diagnosis, there is this sense of panic or shock or disbelief. And followed after that is a stage where it's kind of keep calm and carry on. You don't want to have any, you don't want to display signs of sight loss. So if you have like a symbol cane, a white stick or some marker, you hide it and you hide signs of your sight loss and you try and keep going as life as normal. Mm. And then the third stage is a really key stage, and I think this is what is like where all the loss and grief is. It's we call it the point of impact. And what happens is that the sight loss impacts on your life in a way that you can't move forward with it. So, for example, you might no longer be able to drive, or you might not be able to read, or you might not be able to go out the house, or you might have to give up your work, or you maybe aren't seeing those that you love around you. And it's like multiple losses. So there's losses like of your hopes and dreams, or losses of just your hobbies. It's a really immensely difficult stage, this stage three, the point of impact stage. And then following from that, there's people, with what I find in terms of the UK, is that people then go into rehabilitation services. And what that means is that they have, they're given a long cane, a sweeper cane for trying to find their way around, or they have a guide dog. Mm. And that brings its own challenges, because it's like they're coming out as a blind person. So they have visible signs of blindness. And then what that means is that the public interact with them in a different way. So they become I think the public are kind of awkward around blindness. And so mm-hmm. this is another mm-hmm. aspect to having, not only you're dealing with all the losses that you've had, and then you're dealing with finding, like trying to push on with your life with different things like a stick and a dog. And then you're dealing with the people's expectations of who you are as a blind person. Mm-hmm. And that's really challenging. So that stage between all the losses and moving into like being visible blind in society is really hard. And then there comes the fifth stage, where it's kind of like you get through to a new normal. You kind of normalize what's happened to you, and you find a new way of being in the world. But it's incredibly difficult emotional process.
Would that be the same as acceptance? Is that just that they're accepting their situation and they're moving on with it?
I think you're right. I think accepting the situation, moving on with it. People talk to me about different ways they have. So some people say, well, it could be worse. I'm still alive. You know, they have a sliding scale. Or some people say, well, I just look at what I can do. I focus on the positives. And some people kind of just go, well, actually, my leg's better with cyber. So it's different coping.
And also, I don't think it's, as we described it there, as quite linear. Yes. So I think number one stays pretty static, where you get your diagnosis. But everything after that, you can go through periods of feeling a bit better and accepting it, and then you lose a bit more sight.
Absolutely.
And then you've got to go through that process again, haven't you?
Yes.
So I think it's like an ongoing process, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And it doesn't happen linear. So there could be, for example, one of the women who was participating in the research, she didn't really notice that she'd lost her sight. She kind of managed, and she was very elderly, and it was only when her husband died that she felt she hit that point of impact. Because her husband had done everything for her, and when he passed, then she felt, actually, I now feel I can't move on. I'm stuck. Mm. So it doesn't follow.
No. Yeah. And somebody else that we worked with on a research project had been diagnosed with RP, if you remember, from the age of 10, and he was now in his 40s.
Yeah.
And he'd had what he described as significant sight loss about every 3 years.
Yeah.
But the point of impact for him was when he arrived at work and couldn't find his desk.
Yeah.
They'd rearranged the desk, and he'd realised how much he'd been just remembering things rather than being able to see things.
Mm.
And the point of impact when they moved the desks and he couldn't find his way. And then he said he had to face up in that moment to say, I don't have my sight anymore.
Yeah.
And it was all happened in a very short time.
Yeah.
And he just went into free fall at that point.
Yeah.
But he'd lived with the diagnosis for 33 years.
Yes.
You know, and so it wasn't a newly diagnosed condition.
No, absolutely. And I think the point of impact will be the same across the world. My sense is that wherever you are, you will have a point where your sight loss impacts on your life, and you can't avoid that. But what I don't know, and this is what I'd be really curious about, people's experiences, is what happens after that. In the UK, you go into rehabilitation, so you have a sticker dog. But I don't know what happens in other countries. Like, so this is like a model which is kind of UK based. So that's why I'm curious about the people in the group. Do they have that sense of? I mean, I think the point of impact will be the same, but do they have what happens after that?
The point of impact,
yes. Yeah. And how are blind people treated in where you live in the world? Like, so in the UK, there is a little bit of people talk to me very slowly because they think if you're blind, you're actually probably not very clever. You know, there's a kind of assumptions about you.
Yes.
Well, they talk to somebody else.
Talk to whoever. So there's a kind of particular standing that the people if you're blind in the UK, but I don't know what it's like. What if you're blind somewhere else in the world? How does society treat you? You know, what's your status? Does it go down? You know, or does it go up? You know, I just don't know enough about the cultural context of the process of losing.
And I guess we're quite lucky again in the UK, aren't we? Because we do have a choice about the cane or the dog.
Yes.
Whereas actually that may not be a choice for other people across the world. So I'd be really interested in people's stories about how they do get some mobility, or are they stuck indoors once they lose their sight? What kind of support systems are out there?
Yes.
And the other thing I think is really interesting is the coming out as a blind person.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that we use that term coming out almost assumes there's some level of shame.
Yes.
Because we're coming out. It's not. We're not proud.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm really proud to be blind here.
Yes.
It's much more difficult than that.
Yeah.
And do you think that's about the vulnerability that goes?
I think
you're kind of publicly owning your vulnerability. In other areas of your life, maybe you can hide it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's a whole other podcast about what being blind means in your society, about like what that sort of the meaning of the white stick in the UK is.
Mm.
It comes with vulnerability, like, or you know, with a whole lot of other implications around using it.
Yeah,
and I think that's That leads on to one, perhaps another podcast around people then stepping in to help you when you don't want help.
Yes.
And that whole thing about dependence and independence you know, needing to be dependent but desperately wanting the independence and trying to find the balance of that.
Yes, and I remember one of our friends telling us about it, the hardest thing is not the independence, it's the dependence part. That's the tricky bit to get to get your head around, that you're, you know, in some ways you become dependent.
Okay, so that's amazing amount of thinking to do. We really do invite you to leave your comments on the post. Please tell us your stories, what it's like for you, and your experiences of perhaps if you've had to start using a stick, or even if you live in a country where there aren't any white sticks or there aren't any guide dogs. We'd be really interested to know how it works in your part of the world. So thank you, Mari. Thank you, Miguel.
Thank you, Amanda.
Next time we'll see what happens.
Edinburgh
we think we are. Okay, thanks ever so much.
Take care. Goodbye for wherever you are in the world.
Bye.